The result was not good. Every tendon and ligament and muscle from his fingertips to his rib cage burned and quivered, and the microscopic motion in his hands set up small concentric ripples in the coffee. He concentrated hard and brought the mug to his lips, aiming for smoothness, achieving lurching, erratic movement. The drunk guy watched him for a moment and then looked away. The coffee was hot and a little stewed, but it had caffeine in it, which was really all it needed. The drunk guy took a sip from his glass and put it back on its coaster and stared at it miserably. His lips were parted slightly, and bubbles of moisture were forming in their corners. He sipped again. Reacher sipped again. Slower. Nobody spoke. The drunk guy finished up and got a refill. Jim Beam. Bourbon, at least a triple. Reacher's arms started to feel a little better. Coffee. Good for what ails you. Then the phone rang. Actually, two phones rang. One number, two instruments. One over on the reception desk, the other on a shelf behind the bar. Quintuple duty. The guy with the hair couldn't be everywhere at once. He picked up and said, "This is the Apollo Inn." Just as proudly and brightly and enthusiastically as if it was the establishment's first ever call on opening night. Then he listened for a spell and pressed the mouthpiece to his chest and said, "Doctor, it's for you." Automatically, Reacher glanced backward, looking for a doctor. No one there. Beside him, the drunk guy said, "Who is it?" The bartender said, "It's Mrs. Duncan." The drunk guy said, "What's her problem?" "Her nose is bleeding. Won't stop." The drunk guy said, "Tell her you haven't seen me." The guy with the hair relayed the lie and put the phone down. The drunk guy slumped, and his face dropped almost level with the rim of his glass. "You're a doctor?" Reacher asked him.
"What do you care?"
"Is Mrs. Duncan your patient?"
"Technically."
"And you're blowing her off?"
"What are you, the ethics board? It's a nosebleed."
"That won't stop. Could be serious."
"She's 33 years old and healthy. No history of hypertension or blood disorders. She's not a drug user. No reason to get alarmed."
The guy picked up his glass. A gulp, a swallow. A gulp, a swallow. Reacher asked, "Is she married?"
"What? Marriage causes nosebleeds now?"
"Sometimes," Reacher said. "I was a military cop. Sometimes we would get called off post or to the married quarters. Women who get hit a lot take a lot of aspirin because of the pain. But aspirin thins the blood, so the next time they get hit, they don't stop bleeding." The drunk guy said nothing. The barman looked away. Reacher said, "What? This happens a lot?" The drunk guy said, "It's a nosebleed." Reacher said, "You're afraid of getting in the middle of a domestic dispute?" No one spoke. "There could be other injuries," Reacher said. "Maybe less visible." "She's your patient." No one spoke. Reacher said, "Bleeding from the nose is the same as bleeding from any place else. If it doesn't stop, she's going to pass out, like a knife wound. You wouldn't leave her sitting there with a knife wound, would you?" No one spoke. "Whatever," Reacher said. "Not my business. And you'd be no good anyway. You're not even fit to drive out there, wherever she is. But you should call someone." The drunk guy said, "There isn't anyone. There's an emergency room 60 miles away, but they're not going to send an ambulance 60 miles for a nosebleed." Reacher took another sip of coffee. The drunk guy left his glass alone. He said, "Sure, I would have a problem driving, but I'd be okay when I got there. I'm a good doctor." "And I'd hate to see a bad one," Reacher said.
"I know what's wrong with you, for instance. Physically, I mean. Mentally, I can't comment."
Don't push it, pal.
Oh, what?
Reacher said nothing. It's a nosebleed, the doctor said again. How would you treat it? Reacher asked.
A little local anesthetic. Pack the nasal cavities with gauze. The pressure would stop the bleeding. Aspirin or no aspirin?
Reacher nodded. He'd seen it done that way before in the army. He said, So let's go, doctor. I'll drive. Chapter 3. The doctor was unsteady on his feet. He did the usual drunk guy thing of walking across a flat floor and making it look like he was walking up a hill. But he got out to the lot okay, and then the cold air hit him, and he got some temporary focus. Enough to find his car keys, anyway. He patted one pocket after another and eventually came out with a big bunch on a worn leather fob that had Duncan Transportation printed on it in flaking gold.
Same Duncan? Reacher asked. The guy said, There's only one Duncan family in this county.
You treat all of them?
Only the daughter-in-law. The son goes to Denver. The father and the uncles treat themselves with roots and berries, for all I know.
The car was a Subaru wagon. It was the only vehicle in the lot. It was reasonably new and reasonably clean. Reacher found the remote on the fob and clicked it open. The doctor made a big show of heading for the driver's door and then ruefully changing direction. Reacher got in and racked the seat back and started the engine and found the lights.
Head south, the doctor said.
Reacher coughed.
Try not to breathe on me, he said, or the patient.
He put his hands on the wheel, the same way a person might maneuver two baseball gloves on the end of two long sticks. When they got there, he clamped his fingers and held on tight to relieve the pressure on his shoulders. He eased out of the lot and turned south. It was full dark, nothing to see, but he knew the land was flat and infinite all around.
What grows here?
He asked, just to keep the doctor awake.
Corn, of course, the guy said. Corn and more corn. Lots and lots of corn. More corn than a sane man ever wants to see.
You local?
From Idaho, originally.
Potatoes.
Better than corn.
So what brought you to Nebraska?
My wife, the guy said. Born and raised right here.
They were quiet for a moment, and then Reacher asked,